fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, episode 35 for August 5th, 2006, with your host, Tom Olzak. And this is a weekly podcast published each weekend. You can find the information covered in our episodes at blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to podcasts@adventuresinsecurity.com. This is the sixth in a series in which I look at web application security. I'm using the OWASP Top 10 list as the basis for the series. We'll look at the challenges facing organizations that are increasing their use of web technologies, the top 10 vulnerabilities typically found in those organizations, and ways to manage the resulting risk. If you missed the first five episodes, be sure to visit adventuresinsecurity.com to catch up. In this week's episode, we're going to cover the six of the top 10 vulnerabilities, injection flaws. Like I said, in this installment, we're going to take a look at injection flaws. I'm going to examine the nature of injection flaws, and I'm going to use SQL injection to demonstrate how attacks are perpetrated, as well as how to defend against them. Let's start with a discussion of what are injection flaws. Well, in general, injection flaws allow attackers to manipulate input to change the behavior of an application. They result from assumptions made by developers that the input strings, when processed by an application, will not contain syntactic content. And syntactic content is anything that is a format that is typical of a SQL code or other types of scripting or any kind of code. This results in application weaknesses caused by a failure to filter command statement elements from input text. Such weaknesses can lead to the compromise of sensitive data, escalation of privileges, and the execution of arbitrary commands. This is true for input that is processed immediately, as well as for input stored for later use. There are three primary types of injection attacks: system calls, shell commands, and SQL injection. Because SQL injection attacks are quite common, I chose this category to demonstrate an attack as well as defensive techniques. In a SQL injection attack, the perpetrator manipulates application input in an effort to run one or more malicious SQL statements against a back-end database. Successful SQL injection attacks can result in the compromise, destruction, or loss of data. According to Stephen Kost, there are four types of SQL injection attacks. The first is SQL manipulation. In this attack, the perpetrator modifies SQL statements by using various operations, for example, union. The attacker might also change the syntax of a where clause in order to retrieve additional data. The next is code injection. In a code injection attack, the perpetrator inserts new SQL statements into existing SQL code. Environments in which the execution of multiple SQL statements per database request is not allowed are not vulnerable to this type of attack. The third type of attack is function call injection. Inserting database function calls into a SQL statement constitutes a function call injection attack. The inserted calls might make system calls or manipulate data in database tables. And finally, buffer overflows. This type of attack is typically successful against unpatched database servers. It consists of manipulating input so as to cause a system failure or to execute malicious code installed by the attacker. So let's take a look at an example of a SQL manipulation attack. And these examples plus additional information on injection flaws can be found at the blog site. This is a very simple SQL statement. It's select star from users where username equals Bob and password equals my password. Bob and my password are two values that were entered by the user. Now, this is standard code. It's what the developer expected to happen, and this will process appropriately. A single record in the table or a single row in the table will match this, hopefully, and everything will work fine. Well, what if the input was not validated and an operator entered, instead of just the string my password, entered my password, or A equals A. Because there's because the developer did not filter the input for syntactic content, this particular string, and this is the second part of the select statement, where username equals Bob and password equals my password, or A equals A, because of operator precedence rules, this particular test will be true for every row in the table. So the developer, or the, I'm sorry, the attacker will have access now to the system. So how do we defend against SQL injection attacks? The primary defense for all types of injection attacks is input validation. Unvalidated input was the topic of part two of the series, and it's the one vulnerability that can lead to several more weaknesses as described in the OWASP Top 10. In every case where input is received, the content of the input string should be filtered and syntactic content removed. Filtering all kinds of syntactic content is a difficult process. There is another way to protect applications from SQL injection attacks that also improves performance, and that's the use of bind variables. Both Oracle and Microsoft SQL Server support this approach. When using bind variables, SQL statements are prepared in advance with placeholders used for receipt of user input. User input is placed into the bind variables as literals that cannot be executed. Injection flaws are another type of vulnerability caused by not properly dealing with input into applications. Ensuring that input cannot be executed is an important first step in protecting your network and your data. Well, that's it for this week. And I'd like to once again remind you that more information can be found at adventuresinsecurity.com or at the blog site, which is blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. You can get a closer look at the examples that we went over in this episode, and there are links in the episode notes to documents that can give you a lot more information or a lot more in-depth information about this topic. And until next week, be careful what you click.